the Pioneer dealers in the Atlantic, Messina, and Lyman area, and the Family Vision Center in the heart of downtown Atlantic. This is Bob Evensley, along with Brian Smith, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, Bob.
You were a little bit on the ill order last year, and we had a little disconnection, and LaVon Eblen ended up filling in for me, and you got along quite well, I understand. People said they listened to the program and enjoyed it. Did she lay on a squirrel stew recipe or how to cook possum or anything like that?
She did not.
Ah.
No, she did. She did not. You didn't tell me that was one of her many talents.
Yeah, she's basically the homemaker of the station here, so she could come up with something, I'm sure.
Well, she was holding out on me then.
Well, yes, she was. You bet. Let's talk about what's going on. We're right in the heart of the turkey season, and boy, these nice mornings we've had this week is just like clear mountain mornings is what we've been having. It's really been nice sitting out in the timber. I would imagine guys are having a good time.
They are, and their success is picking up as the breeding season progresses. So I want to talk a little bit about turkey hunting safety this morning.
You bet.
It never hurts to reiterate. I know we've probably heard it a lot of times over the years, but you know, it's extremely important, especially turkey hunting, when everyone's obviously fully camoed up. It's imperative that you identify your target. It's shooting at sound. That might be another person calling turkeys. Especially if you're on public property, even more imperative that you're not stalking a calling bird because that might be another turkey hunter that you're actually stalking. And a lot of people, you know, they on private property, they think they can do that safely because they're the only ones supposed to be out there, for example. However, we do know that people do trespass from time to time, and so we can never be 100% sure that we're the only ones out there in the woods on that particular piece of property. Another thing, do not take anything into the woods with you that's remotely turkey colored, if you will. No Pepsi cans, no Coke cans, anything red, white, blue, or any combination thereof, those colors. Of course, that resembles a turkey's head when they're gobbling and when they're during the breeding season. So you'd be surprised at how many people over the years have been shot, you know, taking a drink from their pop can, and another hunter stalked up and saw that color through the foliage or through the timber and shot. So doing what you can to prevent from your standpoint, and then again identifying your target is imperative.
Yeah, we had one pretty good accident in Guthrie County, I believe, just this past week or so. So
we did.
When people are hunting turkeys in this day and age, how many guys are out together? Party hunting's not right like deer hunting, but are there two, three, one? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, you're right, exactly right. You cannot party hunt in the state of Iowa outside of deer during the shotgun season, essentially. But you have to shoot your own turkey, tag your own turkey. Mm-hmm. But you know, turkey hunting, it's one of those sports. It's a little bit like bow hunting. It's a solitary sport on one hand, yet it's a social on the other. What I see is I'll see a turkey camp generally of two or more people. And, of course, they'll leave in the morning and they'll go their separate ways and then come back to camp, you know, over the lunch hour or what have you and share and talk. And a lot of times once one person in that group harvests a turkey, they'll go out and call for the other person in the group. So you just never know. Might be one single solo out there hunting and there might be a couple of guys hunting together. There might be several groups of a couple of guys hunting or folks hunting together.
Okay. So be careful. Let's talk a little bit about this avian flu. If guys are hunting turkeys around some of these areas where there has been identified as a flu area, what do they need to do for precautions?
Well, basically, you know, some common sense stuff. Wearing rubber gloves while you're processing or butchering, field dressing that bird. Ensuring that you disinfect any knives or tools that you use when you taking the internal organs from the animal and the feathers, skin, so on and so forth, all that offal, and putting it, double bagging it, ensuring that you put it inside a plastic bag, inside of another plastic bag, and then just disposing of it in the garbage. Of course, washing, disinfecting your hands before you you know, eat or smoke or you know, touch your mouth or your face. Those things all are going to help. And there's no, you know, we don't have any real concerns that this is going to be an epidemic or anything like that. But again, anything we can do to help protect ourselves and the wild flock. Also, of course, like always, cooking your game to an appropriate temperature, which poultry is 165 degrees Fahrenheit, internal temperature to kill organisms and parasites. And also, if you if you're out there, you are hunting or mushroom hunting or picking up sheds or whatever, you're out walking in the woods and you see a bird that's obviously sick, of course, don't touch it, don't try and move it, or it's sick or dead. Call your local conservation officer, local wildlife biologist. Our numbers can be found in all of the hunting regulations posted in there under the county in which we cover. Mm-hmm. And our wildlife biologists, you can get their numbers online if you go to our website, iowadnr.gov. And again, if you can identify those birds and things that we're looking for in a sick bird, especially say like a turkey that you might notice when you're hunting, ruffled feathers, swollen wattles, discoloration of the feet, and impaired balance. So if you see any of those things, again, don't touch or attempt to move the animal, and get a hold of one of us. And if you can, mark the coordinates, GPS coordinates, if you happen to have that available to you, yeah, as to where you found it.
But if you're away from those areas, you're pretty safe.
Yes, I mean, no more dangerous than anything else in life.
You bet. We'll come back and talk about fishing, and that's getting a little hot after we break for this.
Precision Ag can seem like a full-time job. How do you keep your investment progressive and prudent? Contact Lee Satoff or Jim Swanson at Lyman Ag Supply, your MZB zone-based precision farming specialist today. Lyman Ag and MZB will create multiple layered management zones in each of your fields to be as efficient and effective as possible with your crop inputs. So call Lyman Ag Supply at 778-4486 for your precision soil sampling this fall. Lyman Ag Supply, maximizing your input dollars.
Crappie fishing is hot.
It is. Very hot. I talked to an officer the other day over in the south central part of the state. He's south of Des Moines, and he caught a limit of crappies on one of his local lakes. He caught a limit in 23 minutes.
Really?
Yes. So he's made several over bag cases. People taking more than the allotted daily bag of 25.
25, isn't
correct?
It? Yeah,
25, and made several cases. I believe I talked to him. He made like 5 cases in 3 days. Some guys double tripping, you know, taking their 25 and taking them home or going to the car and coming back and working on their second 25.
Those dirty dogs.
So yes, they are biting, and folks are doing real well, so I think crappie fishing is here.
Okay, and that would go be true for all the lakes in our area and some of the ponds, you bet.
Yeah, like we talked about last week, a lot of that is water temperature that turns those fish on to that bite. Mm-hmm. And that water temperature, it's all going to be relatively close across the region.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't have too much to do with fishing here, but the DNR does an annual netting up on the Great Lakes and Rathman and also Storm Lake. Pretty successful this year, 250 million eggs.
Yeah, they said it was, they said it was an all-time record, I believe. So, mm-hmm. That's where your walleyes that we stock the rivers. And you're right, you know, while it doesn't necessarily maybe affect the immediate area, you might be surprised. The Raccoon River, not too far away, we stock walleyes in there, and that's where those brood stock come from. So absolutely those netting projects have effect on your local fishery.
Mm-hmm. I was interested in the numbers coming out of Storm Lake, and that they've done a lot of work up there on Storm, trying to get that into a better lake than it used to be, and they've done a pretty good job, and it's showing up here in the netting they've done and the good sized mature females they've found.
Yes, you know, water quality and the quality of the habitats. Well, it's virtually everything, and you're right. There's a lot of money and time and labor put into restoring our lakes and rivers, and trying to maintain the habitat, improve the habitat, and it shows up.
I think you had a case up in northeast Iowa where these guys were, one of them was inside the fishery fence, and he was throwing these nice big females over the fence, and the guy was putting them in the trunk, right?
I did. That was a trout fishing case I had a number of years ago that ended up, well, long story, but yes, what it boiled down to was they scaled the fence at the Manchester Trout Hatchery. And the one individual was netting the broodstock out of the raceway, throwing them up and over the chain link fence to his buddy on the outside, and he was hauling them to the car and hiding them in the trunk. And I ended up catching them up in up by Elkader. Uh-huh. At the hatchery up there, fishing on the river, and just, well, like I said, long story short, ended up getting into the trunk of the car and finding these big brood stocks. So that was a good case. Some guys obviously directly stealing from the resource.
You bet. The guys must have had a big fish fry coming up or something like that. We'll come back and talk about a new service that's available, and it's on boating safety, and we'll be back with that in just a moment.
When you're looking for a great new gift idea for your loved ones, head to Family Vision Center in Atlantic. They carry brand name sunglasses like Oakley, Serengeti, Olay, Wiley X, and many more that would make great gifts. If you're not sure of the style they'd like, Family Vision Center has gift certificates available. They can use the gift certificates for all their eye care needs, including eye exams, prescription glasses, and sunglasses too. Stop into Family Vision Center in downtown Atlantic for great gift options for all occasions.
We talk safety a lot, whether it be hunting or fishing or whatever, and boating is kind of a dangerous sport if you don't know what you're doing, and you can never know too much.
You're right. We do talk a lot about safety, and the reason I talk so much about it myself is, you know, those are the worst calls you get like last weekend, the turkey hunting incident up in Guthrie County. Whether a boating accident, a drowning, whatever it might be, those are the worst calls we get, and those are the things we as officers do not like to deal with. It's part of the job. So virtually anything we can do to avoid going to those kind of calls is worth our time and effort. So with that said, you know, boating season coming up, and whether it be fishing or recreational boating, water skiing, what have you, that time of year is coming up, and Iowa law requires that people between the age from 12 to 18 complete a boater education course and have proof of that completion with them in the form of a certificate to operate a vessel mm-hmm. of 10 horsepower or more. Now, the law says 12 through 17 or 12 up to 18, but really it wouldn't hurt anybody to take one of these courses, because there is a lot of valuable knowledge. And yes, unlike unlike your car, if it dies on you going down the road, you pull over onto the shoulder, you put it in park, and you know, you call for help with your cell phone, and generally there's somebody driving by within a few minutes. But you know, a boat can be an entirely different deal. You know, you don't have the comfort of putting it in park when the motor dies, and many times you're at the mercy of the current or the wind, the weather rolling in, and so you're right, it can be dangerous. But anyway, on those on these boating education courses, they're actually offering a discount right now if you enroll in the course between the dates of April 20th and 26th. So the last day would be tomorrow, Sunday, and they'd need to get signed up. But you can get a pretty healthy discount, up to 50%, by registering during that time frame, and again, getting that young person or even yourself as an adult through that course. There's a lot of valuable knowledge there.
You bet. It's kind of like getting a different car and finally getting around to reading the owner's manual.
There you go.
What all can happen. You bet. A lot of things going on. A little bit cool yet, probably, for mushrooms. I assume you're a mushroom hunter, and you've done any good?
I have not. They do tell me that the little, in Morrell speak, the little grays are out. Haven't seen too many of the big yellow ones yet, but the little grays are starting to pop, and I would think, obviously, this moisture we had last week, all we need is those temperatures to get up there in the, you know, probably the upper 60s and 70s, and maybe hold there for a little while, and they're gonna be popping.
Good report, good sport, and there's no limit on mushrooms.
There is not.
For the Seed Pros, they being your pioneer dealers in this area and the Family Vision Center in greater downtown Atlantic, this has been Bob Evensee along with Brian Smith, the conservation officer for Casnadair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report.